Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, she's back.
How you doing?
I feel so much better today.
Praise be.
I think I scared everyone because I got a lot of concerned DMs from all over the globe, honestly.
Oh my God.
One deep diver offered me their family home in Suffolk by the sea. She said if I needed really rest and recharge. And
I got scared that was Suffolk County, Long Island, which is not where you want to go to rest and recharge. I'm headed there for Thanksgiving, but it's not where you want to be.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yes. That's so lovely. Gosh, that's so nice.
Everybody sent all manners of links. And actually right now, if you hear the sound of gunpowder in the distance, it's Guy Fawkes Day, which is a day commemorating a man named Guy Fawkes who tried to blow up the parliament. And what they do here, I thought it was like a 4th of July. But what it is people go into their gardens and set off firecrackers all night. So I gotta say, it's kind of exciting.
That's fun.
It's giving me a little tingle.
Okay, like, so we didn't have Halloween, but we have this.
That's whatever. So Guy all Fox these British.
Is it Fox, the, like F-O-X, and you're just pronouncing it like a Brit?
It's F-A-W-K-E-S.
Fox.
Guy
okay,
Fox.
Got it.
And there are bonfires, which I couldn't quite figure out where those were. And I just thought, I don't want to take that on right now. Mm. But we did go out for a walk with the schnauzer, who's deaf, so it didn't bother her. And there's just like, you know what it is? Like, remember in New York where it was like, we're a city. We're all experiencing
this together.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're all doing this. So now I'm on a high. Now I love London. You know,
just... Listen, I think this is one of the most frustrating things about you and I that I do imagine, like, I know Paul feels this way. Like, you meet me one moment, I'm one way. You meet me another moment, you're going to find a completely different person. You really are. You know, I am winter, spring, summer, and fall in an inhale and an exhale. Like, it's that quick.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like the moment we land on joy.
I'm worried.
It's going so quick. And then actually the sadness is going to peek in.
I know.
And so it's really, I'm happy to find you here. And I'm also... I'm actually coming to a place in my life where I'm like a little bit more resolved about that, about my moods and being so cyclical in nature. I think women now, I mean, I have a lot of, you know, bodies who have periods, like we are cyclical. And so we do have these, you know, these days where we feel very different. And sometimes in these heterosexual relationships, I find with men, it's like, oh, they stay the same pretty much, huh?
I understand that living with somebody who you're not quite sure who you're walking into is tough, but like, I kind of feel like if I was living with another woman, and we did, that's the other thing, is we lived with other women for so long before we got married. And so, or got whatever, moved in with our partners. And to be honest, like, I remember like walking in that house and be like, ooh, that, you know what? We're going to give Kristen a wide berth today.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I felt that with my mom. Like, she was setting the weather. And some days it was like, keep your social distance. And we all respected that. But I didn't blink an eye at it. But I do understand And, you know, listen, like some of that stuff is so, I used to think, oh, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Like it's so reductive. And it is, but I do think that I am very cyclical and you are too. I'll make no other sweeping generalizations about women, but I'm glad to find you here. And I was also glad to find you where you were the other day.
And I, you know, what was very interesting was I had a, after we released the podcast and, you know, we recorded it right before it went out.
Which is always frantic. And I don't know, Jess, I have to tell our listeners. So we finished recording that podcast and obviously there's a lot of discussion around anal sex and all manner of thing. And I said, let her rip, you know, just let her rip. And Jess and our producer said, let's give it another listen. And I said, you know what? That's a good idea. But we were in the time of Scorpio when that was released.
We're still, okay? By the way,
still,
in it.
Still.
So many DMs about that. They were okay. Like, please be aware, June is not out of it.
No, I we're do know that. It. I do know that. And boy, Scorpio has a sharp tongue. And boy, like, does she sting.
She doesn't give a fuck. That's the other thing.
Fuck.
You said, nah. You started texting NAH, nah. Like, what? Like, I was like, hey, do you think we might want to rim it? Nah. Okay. Like, okay. I just wrote back, okay, because I don't know what else to write. There's no discussion. It was just like, nah. Nah.
You know, and then, by the way, just so you know, I was actually like, after we had that text exchange about what to lift, what to leave in, like, then I actually had another conversation with myself where I was like, I should reach out to Jess and explain that, nah. So you read it as nah, and I read it in my voice as like, nah, like, nah. But then when I had that conversation with myself of like, I should probably like touch down a little bit more, we can give this some more consideration. Then I said to myself, nah, you know, yeah. So there were several layers of nahs that were coming in, but I told Jessica and Cody that I would definitely listen to the whole thing. And I'm sorry to report that that was on a Tuesday that we recorded it and we knew it was going to be released that night at like midnight. And I thought the entire day that it was Monday, the entire day. And I was like, we got all the time in the world. And that was a tough text to write you. But I also felt like you'd understand what it's like to think a day. Yeah.
No, that again, every time you're in that state of disorganization, I feel less alone. It's a gift. Do you know how many days I've been just walking around like it was Wednesday, but it's really Thursday or the reverse? I mean, absolutely.
So listen, I really didn't give that one a listen, you know, and just had to trust the higher powers. But
and
sorry,
listen,
but go on with what you were saying. So
and we did have one deep diver reached out to say, hey, listen, you know, I love what you got, how truthful you guys are, but just, you know, as a gay man, you know, I found some of the talk about, you know, anal sex being something that is, you know, not at all appealing.
Or for me.
He's like, for me, exactly. But he's like,
no, being a part of a marginalized community.
Community, exactly. He said it felt a little like almost hurtful to him. And so I was like, oh God, that's the last thing. Like, the idea of hurting somebody else or making them feel uncomfortable is the last thing we ever want to do. But, you know, again, I so appreciated the way he reached out was so respectful and so loving.
Yes, it really was.
I actually was like, wonderful. What a wonderful discussion we just had about this.
What an invitation. I really appreciated it.
And I was remembering you saying when we were talking about the cancel culture, like I was remember you saying, like, let's give ourselves opportunities to learn. And I think I wrote back to him, thank you for teaching me about this.
I mean, I did say on that episode because I knew that I actually felt like, oh, this is, you know, obviously so many people have anal sex and so many women have anal sex and so many men have anal sex. And that's absolutely wonderful. You know, my butthole remains as clenched as it ever was.
It's clenching as you said the word clenched.
You know, you could honestly, like, and that's just.
You could bounce a quarter off of it.
You
that's
could
how
bounce
it
a quarter off it. It's really like, it's so tightly closed. But I understand how how my own experience of it, and honestly, my learning was really about how many women don't feel that way and enjoy anal sex. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. But a lot of people find heterosexual sex to be absolutely disgusting and appalling and wouldn't go near it. And I absolutely respect and understand
As actually that gentleman who wrote to us said, just so you know, I find heterosexual absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
But, so, you know,
but
LOL.
I certainly apologize to anyone who enjoys anal sex and especially feels it's a huge part of their community and identity who felt hurt by that. But Jess, you know, I also wanted to share with you that yesterday.
You did it.
I had anal sex. I didn't. No, I didn't. Here's the thing. As I said that about, you know, bouncing a quarter off my asshole, like, you know, I will say this. I think today I'm closer to having anal sex than I was the last time we recorded. Okay. So if that's, and I'm still not anywhere near it,
I'm a little closer.
I'm a little bit closer.
You know, when they do those giving drives where they show a thermometer and then it goes up, I'd love for us to post that and just so we can see how close you end up getting. This was not supposed to be a podcast about anal sex.
Yesterday, my children received their first dose of the COVID vaccine.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Praise be.
Yeah.
That is just so beautiful and so wonderful.
I'm so happy and grateful, and also thinking of all of our deep divers who have kids who are under 5 who can't get vaccinated yet. You know, I think that the thing that's disheartened me most about this time has been like, oh my God, we haven't as a community protected our children. And
we've been making them pay for the selfishness of adults. Yes, they don't get that time back. They don't get 6 back. They don't get 7 back. No. You don't get 16 back. They don't get, you know, it's such a, and remember how when you were that young and a year was a lifetime.
Well, our youngest, you know, as we were on the way there yesterday said, because I said, he's like, well, what's going to be different? And I said, well, there are certain things that we will loosen up. You know, there's certain things that we won't make you wear your masks to. And I mean, they'll still be wearing masks in school, but, you know, it will help us kind of make their lives better. And he was like, but haven't we always worn masks?
Oh, and I said, God, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He doesn't remember.
Because he's just young enough.
Yeah. He was 3 when it started. So he doesn't remember. And yeah, that kind of blew me away. And and it was so hard because he's so terrified of shots. But I really was like, oh, do I lie to him and not tell him where we're going? And then I was like, oh, he needs my reassurance in so many areas right now that I don't want him to lose his trust in
you did the right
me.
Thing. Yeah.
You know, I'd rather bear the consequences of like his terror.
Mm-hmm,
and I did have to restrain him to get the shot, which
that doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel great. It's the second time I've had to do it. It doesn't feel great.
Doesn't
but I was also
good.
Like, you know, I was so happy he was getting it.
Yes.
And it was an interesting moment of parenting where you're like, I am bigger than you, and I will be calling upon my knowledge of what's safe for you and what's right for you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you may have any reaction you want, and you will be getting this shot.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, I understand you don't want to do it. I get it, but we are getting this shot.
Yep.
That's right.
Still going to get it. And it was hard, but it was, to have their little vax cards and everything.
None of us are sleeping, you know, except for you, because you dose yourself so heavily at night with the CBD, but I've been, that's every single night of this pandemic. I wake up at 3 a.m. and I have a list of how can I protect BB emotionally, physically, but mostly it's the emotional thing that I obsess over. We all have our thing. Dan, I know, obsesses about the keeping her safe from COVID, and I long for that to be released, and maybe we really truly will feel, you know, better, you know, safer. Do you? Good.
Yes,
I will.
Jessica,
I mean,
you will. Now, can you get it there?
No, because I don't know if they're going to do it here.
I mean, LAUSD, I'm really proud to be a part of right now because they have a vaccine mandate for kids 12 and up. So we're one of the few public schools who just simply mandated. I don't think they've come out with their protocols for like the mandate for kids 5 and up, but hopefully by the time she's back, things might be different. I know a ton of people are getting their kids vaccinated this week, next week, and I'm just excited for all you deep divers who have kids, you know, 5 to 11 who can get it now. It's a really, really wonderful feeling. They had no side effects. Zero, zip.
It's a no side, nada. Zero.
Zero, and, zip,
and
nada.
I also would like to, just like I felt like I wanted to congratulate all of us when our kids finally went back to school, even though it was for 3 hours a day or whatever it was. You know, we as parents have pulled together, and I feel like, you know, we've been in a lot of ways fighting, you know, these odds that of these asshole people that have ruined everything. But we have fought so hard to protect those kids, and I feel like we've done a really amazing job. Mm. And it's taken, it has taken a pound of flesh out of us. But I've watched moms save holidays and, you know, create adventures inside their house and let everybody's kids are sleeping in their beds, you know, because they're like, fuck it. You know, like, fuck, we're it. All going to protect our kids, that primal protection. I'm fucking proud. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of every single mother and father that I've met.
Me too. It's been Herculean. And I am just glad that in a time where these kids haven't had any agency over, when adults have decided like that their choices are more important than protecting children, like I'm so thrilled that we can now make choices for them to protect them. It's just such a wonderful feeling.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's good, Jess. It feels really, really good. It's so funny because the nurse who was giving Sam the shot, I think she was so worried about me because when I tell you we made a scene there, it was like from the moment we arrived.
Oh,
I
mean,
we were
been there.
In it.
Yeah,
deep the fuck in it. And they were giving out snacks and water to the kids, and after it was done, I mean, again, it was like, it was like we were at a fever pitch of meltdown from the time of our arrival. You know,
I have had to carry BB down three flights of stairs, put her in a car seat. She's very tall. Carry her into the doctor's office. Like, it has not been, but I'm like, in our house, we trust doctors. We go and get what has to be done.
We believe that science matters.
Yes.
No, totally. And it is an interesting feeling of like being with, I try to observe my own reactions because I'm like, it's very interesting when you're in public and your child is melting down.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing because you're like, I'm so visible and I know certain people want to make this okay and are really trying to be helpful and offer things like I would do if I saw, I would take out whatever I had and offer it.
But it's also like, I was so committed when we were at this vaccine place to just, we're getting through this and you can mm-hmm. actually experience it any motherfucking way.
You know? Like, you really, no, that is a really, listen.
I wasn't ignoring him, but I was like, nope. Yeah, cry it out. Cry. Like, we're getting this vaccine.
That's
but
right.
I was not moving to do a song and dance to change his behavior. Mm-hmm. And it was a lesson because it was like, yeah, it's not comfortable for other people. Other people have their kids here. A child is having a giant reaction. Like, but I'm also... I'm going to remove myself. What's that line from Hamilton? I'm taking myself out of the narrative. Like, I'm taking myself out of this narrative, you know? And we're just getting something done. We have to get it done. But anyway, so the nurse afterward was like handing me snacks. She's like, Mom, you take this. Mom, you have some water too. And I was like, oh, I'm quite fine, actually. I'm really quite fine. I'm really quite fine. So it was an interesting lesson for us all, but you modeled,
it's really interesting too. Cause had you put yourself in the narrative, I think sometimes I look around and I'm like, I'm embarrassed. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I start to try to shut her up more because I don't want to have it be like, he is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And he did have to have his feelings. You didn't tell him to stop crying. You said, I understand, but we are going to be doing this. And I believe he was watching you. Like, how does my mom behave? Like, my mother, it was a fucking champ when it came to doctor's office. We trust doctors. We go in. We go to the doctor when we're sick. And it's why it saved my life.
Mm.
Because the moment I knew something was wrong, I went right to within 2 hours, I was in the doctor's office. So he's looking at you and he's like, huh. Okay, in our family, this is what we do. And we don't behave. We don't get to not do it when I have a big reaction. If you had said, we'll go tomorrow, fuck that. No. We go now and we say thank you. And if you need to cry, that's your body's reaction to try to calm itself down. Okay.
Absolutely. And who amongst? Now I did reach out to my friend, Dr. Kate Grossman, who I've had on the podcast before, pulmonary care physician, afterward. And I said, oh, my gosh, the kids got vaccinated today. And she goes, oh, my God, can I see a picture of them? And I was like, well, it wasn't really a photo op. Like, there wasn't that opportunity. Yeah,
we're not getting on the cover of Time magazine. No, we didn't.
And she was like, oh, there's this thing called the shot blocker.
Oh, this is what we should have known.
Well, I didn't know about it. And the shot blocker is like this. It looked like almost a piece of like silicone that you put over the area where the kid is getting the shot. And it has these like bumps and like this texture to it. Yeah. And when they're getting the shot, you're supposed to press on it. So I think what it does is kind of create like a confusing sensory experience. Oh, so the shot actually literally does not hurt as much because there's a lot happening going on there. And she goes, so her daughter apparently loves it and had,
I'm going to get one.
I'm getting one tonight. So
obviously immediately.
So I said to Sam, I'm like, I just found out from Dr. Kate, like, we can get this shot blocker for your second dose. Cause then he also found out there's another one coming. That was tough news to break. There's another one. It was like,
that was like me finding out I had to go back to that gym on Monday. I didn't look at the advance.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, it was like Gus screamed out. He's like, first shot done. And Sam was like, God. First. So I told Sam, I'm like, listen, I've just found out there's this thing called a shot blocker where you actually are not going to feel the shot. And he was like, why wouldn't you have gotten me that before this?
Oh, fuck. He looked at you like.
He looked at me dead ass in the face like, you're telling me now there's a thing called a shot blocker?
He's like, bitch, you a businesswoman. And you run a company and you won't get me a goddamn shot blocker.
He's like
you should have just
plastic with nubs on it could have avoided this entire experience. Now, whether the shot blocker blocks the pain or not, who knows? But I think what I'm realizing now is the narrative around the shot blocker was what was important. Like, we have something that's mentally going to block this shot for us.
You know, the brain tells your body to feel pain. So, and I get migraines, I mean, once a week, especially when I'm shooting like every day. And I was thinking to myself, and this is why she's always like, you got to meditate, meditate, breathe, meditate. Because when I even get a headache, I go, oh my God, the headache's coming. Oh God, oh God. And then instead of doing any of the things I should do, like relax, breathe, possibly it would go away. Instead, I drink coffee, you know, panic, you know, all this just makes it worse and worse. You know, it's interesting because I was reading a little bit more about the HSPs, as we're now going to be calling ourselves. And I was, I'm starting to read this book about it or listen to it.
Because, you know, we're also SPs in terms of Scientology, suppressive persons.
Oh, shit.
So we're HSPs and we're SPs.
I really don't love the name HSP. I really don't want to own that. But this is really interesting because the woman who's like the big researcher, Dr. Elaine Aron, and when you listen to the book, like, so much research has come out about this, but 20% of the population are HSPs and 80% are not. And this goes within 100 species of animals because it's adaptive.
Animals are HSPs?
Like, yes, there are deer who are more highly attuned to their surroundings. There are deer who kind of obsess about, is it this grass I should eat or this? Mm. Is this more nutritional? Is this more nutritional? And sometimes it's better for their survival and sometimes it's worse depending on the environment. So they think that there is a gene they've isolated, which makes us a highly sensitive person as opposed to not. And the reason why it's a gene variant is because they think people, when they had children, it was good to have a mix. Because highly sensitive children would in certain environments be more successful. But in other environments, you know, considering too much a decision would make you die. So they wanted to have a wide range so that they could make sure some of their children survived. It's fucking blows my mind, right? So I kind of want you to take this self-test with me. I'm going to give you the questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, and then you can find out if your child is highly sensitive, and I took that, and what's so wonderful about this kind of, like, realizing, oh, okay, I might be in the 20%. There's so many wonderful things about being highly sensitive person, and if you have a childhood that is positive and you're a highly sensitive person, it means as an adult, you're going to have a lot of really good gifts. It's harder if you're highly sensitive and you're not in such a great family environment. That can turn into anxiety and depression. But if you have a really positive family life, it can really be something.
Which I think I had a really magical childhood.
You did. And that's why so much of this is great. Okay. So you're just going to, you're going to answer yes or no. I am, and deep divers, why don't you take this as well? Okay.
Can I say nah? Or?
Yeah, say nah. Okay. I am easily overwhelmed by strong sensory input.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
So can I just say something to that?
Yes.
Because I want to see if you have this experience as well.
Tell me.
First of all, so many deep divers responded to our give me lamps or give me death proclamation.
Oh, yes. Who would have known this would be the dialogue?
But that was such a throwaway. And I was actually, as we were talking about it, I was like, this is going on for too long. Like, we've been talking about lighting for, I think, 40 minutes, and we're not done. And also, like, I think maybe we've already had this conversation.
I still have more to say about it. I still have more to say about it.
I really want to talk about your lighting now, because I did post a picture, a screen grab of you on Zoom, and it is, like, so dark behind you. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, Jessica. It's interesting, right?
It's like, so I
could
dark.
No, but do you know why I have it dark like this? Because I could There are only overhead lights.
She has to sit in the darkness then. You have to sit in the darkness.
I have to. And, you know, Dan's like, why do we feel so depressed in here? I'm like, because of the overhead light. And that is, the HSPs are so sensitive to light.
Okay. So sensitive to light and to screens. But also, one of my pet peeves with Paul is if I get in his car and turn on the car and loud music comes on or a loud radio show or a podcast, it sends me into sensory overload where I am so upset, like my insides have been violated.
Yes.
Really loud noises.
I feel that way when
like
I get, yeah, or like I got in at 5:30 in the morning and a driver had like a ska music on.
Oh, God. But then I felt you're still making that? Or anyone still listening to that?
Yeah, it was like the Zoot Suit Riot. And I was like, it was so loud. But I also was like, terrible. You know, this guy's gotten up at 4 a.m. to get here at 5. I don't want to tell him to turn it off. But like, I was enraged.
I would have told him. Wait, he picked you up, Jessica, with that music on? Oh, I'm sorry. I would have said something. We're actors. And I'm sorry. I know deep divers, half of you have just turned this off. But like, I'm sorry. We are emotional athletes and we cannot be subjected to that on the car ride in. No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
No. No, listen. That's he's horrible. A lovely man. But he also, I think he thought I was enjoying it. But so let's go back to this test. Okay.
So yes, 1,000% yes.
Okay. I am easily overwhelmed by strong sensory input. Yes.
Yes.
I seem to be aware of subtleties in my environment.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay. Other people's moods affect me.
Yes. Well, yes and yes and yes and yes.
I tend to be very sensitive to pain. Just thinking about Gus there. Are you sensitive to pain?
It's hard because I have a very high. Know. I have a high pain.
You don't
pain
have to
tolerance.
Say yes to all of it. I have a very high pain tolerance.
I think
tolerance
that's nah.
Too. Okay. I find myself needing to withdraw during busy days into bed or into a darkened room or any place where I can have some privacy and relief
okay, well,
from stimulation.
Well, now I'm just getting dragged. I'm just getting outright dragged. Okay? Like, we all know what the results are going to be. You know,
yes.
We need to go through this.
Right? Yes.
Yes.
I am particularly sensitive to the effects of caffeine.
Yes. Yes.
For me. Yeah. I am easily overwhelmed by things like bright lights, strong smells. You know, I can't go to a Sephora or I'll throw up. Coarse fabrics or sirens close by. I Whoa. Screamed out. The sirens here in London are so fucking loud. I was like, are you kidding me? I was looking around. I go, are you kidding me? Why? It's so horrible. I was like, Phoebe and I were like rocking on the corner. Like, why are they doing this to us?
Yes. 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 Now, smells, though, are interesting because I love a scented candle. So, like, there are smells that are really, I love a house candle that are really important to me.
But
I don't
you've
know if
chosen
I'm,
it. You've chosen that
well,
smell.
Well, unfortunately, last night I almost like hotboxed myself to death with Meatball because I won't even get into what happened last night. And then we will finish this test. But, you know, he never barks and he was barking last night. And I finally took him out of the crate downstairs and he came upstairs. Sam had already come into bed with us. So I went into Sam's room and I got into Sam's bed, which is the bottom of a bunk bed. And when I tell you this dog slept on the ground next to me and farted Jessica. And it was, now I do think he's had diarrhea. Like he had diarrhea like 15 times when we went on a walk this morning. Okay, so he's ate something is going on. When I tell you, I was like,
oh
I think
God.
I'm going to die in here because it's so terrible. It was so terrible.
And yet you stayed. It's interesting that you stayed.
I did because I was like, my other option is to go back into the bed with Sam and Paul. And Sam was talking nonstop. So I had no...
Jesus,
when you
no,
can't
I
find
know,
a spot in your own home to rest
always.
Peacefully, you know?
Always.
It's
always.
Really quite upsetting.
Hot box or a talking child at 4 a.m. I'll choose the hot box. Okay. I have a rich, complex inner life. Yes.
Yes.
I am made
who doesn't though? Who's going to answer no to that?
I know lots of people who don't. Yeah.
But would they
These are the
say
people
that,
I would stare
though?
At. I guess, but like I would stare at these. I mean, I've long studied people for whom, you know, the life's things bigger questions just, or like they're just in the now, you know, they're simple.
My dad was like that way. I think it was really wonderful.
It sounds like your mom was an HSP and your dad was a non-HSP.
Very much so.
Yep. Yes. Which I think I had as well going on.
And he was like fine to go out in the morning and get a coffee and a bun and come back, ride his bike back and sit down with the paper. And like look for coupons and see who died, like lots of reading of the obituaries. And then, and that was just fine. Like there was not this.
This tumultuous feeling inside. Yeah.
No.
I am made uncomfortable by loud noises.
Yes.
Yeah. I am deeply moved by the arts or music. Maybe you should go and revisit your picture you posted after you saw Hamilton, which was like just you with like kabuki makeup. Just like,
and you know what? I really want to redo. I really want to redo that. Just that one line I sang from Hamilton, because I know I'm not a singer, but I didn't do a great job with that.
And no.
I'd like another opportunity to share my singing voice.
Yeah, later.
I'm erasing myself.
No. Nope.
Okay.
My nervous system sometimes feels so frazzled that I just have to go off by myself.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Mine feels frazzled all the time, but I don't go off by myself. And that's why I think knowing that you're at HSP is actually gives you the agency to say, I actually need to go off by myself right now because I'm feeling frazzled.
But Jess, that's so interesting about you because I really enjoy alone time.
I do too, but I don't ever ask for it. Never. It's a bad thing. For me, I'm like, that would be insane for me to ask for it, for me to say, hey, can I have an hour or two by myself? Like, no. And like, you know, Dan needs his hour, two or three of writing a day. It doesn't matter if it's a weekday or a weekend. And he feels very off if he doesn't get it. But I also need that time.
You do. You definitely do.
And he will give it to me if I ask for it. I never ask for it. And my we had a real after Halloween breakdown, my therapist and I, who, by the way, I had been avoiding for 3 or 4 weeks. She was like, you know, it's so funny when you call them and they're just like, hi, how's it going? And you're like, well, I just thought I would try things on my own. Okay. You know, and then you're like, and you know, she doesn't take, she was like, you got to fucking get on your game, man.
I mean, I was discharged from therapy and haven't been to my therapist for almost 2 years now. Year and a half. Mm-hmm. And lots of people would say that was the wrong decision.
I think you're doing great, but that's just me.
Thanks.
I mean, listen, I think it's great to try to do a couple weeks and see, and I did great on certain things and other things, but it was just funny because I was like, I really want to drill down on this. Like, I want to learn these skills. And she was like, okay, well, just so you know, you can't learn any of these skills or use them if you're totally dysregulated.
Right.
So first, did you work out? Were you drinking water? Had you slept the night before? Had you taken that time you needed to meditate? And I was like, no. So she's like, do that and come back to me and we can learn some of those skills. Okay. I am conscientious. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just answering for you now. I startle easily.
Oh God. Yes.
They call me Gaspard in my house. Goes like that constantly. By the way, a gentleman on the street of Hampstead, yesterday I was really feeling myself. I put on some heels. I put on some, you know, I was walking about in my boots. And a gentleman came up to me and said, are you finished shopping? Are you done with your shopping? I had a bag of things that I bought. And I said, oh, I should be, you know. I said, I've spent too much. And he said, oh, are you from around here? Now I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I was so shocked. He was like keeping pace with me. I said, oh no, Jessica. You know, I said, I'm just here for a couple months for work with my family. And then it caught him and he goes, so does this mean I don't have a chance with you? And I said, I'm sorry. And he goes, okay. And then as I'm about to go into the store, he goes, I just have to check again. Okay.
Sir.
Okay. So I go in and I was like, I haven't been asked out literally or hit on in 15 years. I mean, this just doesn't happen. 20 years doesn't happen. So I go home. I go, Dan, I go, mommy still got it. Okay. I just got somebody just asked me out on the street. And he goes, in a very concerned, his face looks right. He goes, do you think you were being hustled? I go, what? He goes, you're probably being hustled for money. I go, Dan, why is it so unbelievable that somebody could want to ask me on a date? And he was like, that's what they do. They get you in a scenario. You sit down for coffee. Next thing you know, they take your purse. And I'm like, Dan, I think a gentleman wanted to sex me. He wanted to sex my body.
Yeah.
Because I also didn't have my ring on. I didn't have my ring on because I was shooting. Okay. So now I tell BB on our walk to school today. I said, BB, just so you know, somebody asked out mommy yesterday on the street. And you know what she said? Do you know what she said? Do you know what she said?
What?
Was he very old? Was he an old man? I said, no, he was my age. She goes, are you sure? Was he very, very old and he looked like a little bit younger than he was?
Yeah. Okay.
But no, I didn't get asked out by Santa Claus on my way to work. Is that the only person that would want to?
See, we all have different readings. So Dan thought he was trying to like steal something from you. She thought he was just like, I guess, elderly and mentally like out
infirm,
of it.
Like mentally feeble. And mentally feeble.
Okay.
Was but so my confused.
Reading. Yeah, this is like a Rorschach test. So my reading is even, I think, maybe the darkest of all, which is like.
Who's going to kill me?
He was going to try and murder you.
Oh, because my God.
It's the.
Yeah, you're right.
It's the coming back to say. After you said all that, that I don't love no. that, you know, I don't love a man who doesn't take no for an answer. And I do also think that it's fucking bold as hell and weird as hell to approach someone on the street.
It is wild. It's and that's crazy. Why probably it was a hustle. It was probably like a dirty, rotten scoundrels type of hustle. Well, you know, and I looked like a woman about a town.
I mean, or he wanted to, I like your reading is the best, which is that he wanted to sex you up. And maybe that's true.
I do. I looked pretty good.
I'm sure you did. What good. Man in his looking, right, yeah, who's not in his right hand. Like, of course. But I still have, I mean, and I do think it's interesting to be a woman because.
Mm-hmm.
Of the safety issue, right? And I mean, I don't have daughters, you know, unless Gus and Sam tell me otherwise, but I don't know how I would prepare them safety-wise because I don't know. I'm sure I've told this story before, but my body has a memory, Jess, of when I was working the phones at the Coral Reef Inn, which mm-hmm. is a wedding like factory in Long Island. And I would mm-hmm. just answer, I was the receptionist, so I'd answer the phone. And I worked out of like a closet.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy called at like 10 p.m. at night. And he's like, hey, I'm so sorry. Can I ask your name? Started apologizing immediately, really putting me at ease. Mm-hmm. I'm like, June. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hi, June. My name is Steven. I am a college student at Hofstra University. And I'm taking this incredible class in women's studies. So already I was like primed to help him, right?
I go,
and he goes, do you have literally like 2 minutes to help me with this paper I'm doing about like how young women are succeeding in the world? Like everything about it, I look back on it, I'm like, how did I see any of these signs?
No,
and I'm
right.
like, of course.
I wouldn't have known. Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, the calls come in. Someone is finally
noticed
me over here in this
noticed
closet.
Me.
Yeah. I go, of course. And he goes, thank you so much. So how would you describe like the way you dress? And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And he's like modest or, and I go, I guess pretty modest. I don't think too modest, but, and he goes, okay, great. Like, okay, here's a great example. Like what are you wearing right now? And I was like, well, just walked right into it. I go, well, I'm wearing a white shirt and I'm in my uniform and a black skirt. And he goes, gotcha. And do you feel more comfortable wearing a longer skirt or a shorter skirt? And I'm like, well, something's starting to click.
That's right.
And he, and
Oprah would say, you had that thought. You had that thought.
And then he's like, okay. And so I know you're working there right now. Like, so what kind of hours do you put in? And do you feel like you're doing good work? Like, you started at what time and what time will you get off?
Oh my God. Said, well, oh my God. Oh my 10. God. June. Oh my God.
I said, I'll get off at 10. And he goes, right.
Oh my God.
And so, and then the other question he goes, he's like, and now, I'm sure, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm 16. And he goes, okay, so do you have your driver's license? Does someone drive you? I said, no, I drove myself. I have my driver's license. I answered everything.
Oh my God.
Until something clicked in where I said, I'm so sorry, I have to go. And I hung up. And the phone rang again. It was him again. And I hung up. So something in me knew that something was very wrong. And then I called my mom. And this is what's interesting about fear and safety is I think oftentimes for women, like, we have reactions that our bodies don't really understand. Like, your body reacts before your mind.
Your body knows. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I had just spoken to my mom earlier and said, like, oh, I'm going to the beach tomorrow. It was because it was over the summer. Going to the beach tomorrow. I'm going with my friends. We're taking the bus. And then I called my mom again. And I didn't mention anything about the phone call. And she's like, are you okay? And I go, I'm just hate this job. Like, I hate this. All my friends are together right now. I hate it here. I hate it here. And I go on this thing about how much I hate this job. And she's like, okay, well, like, you have to finish it out. I go, I know. I just hate it. I hate that I have to work on my own. And the only girl has to work out of my friends. And I start crying.
Oh, God.
And I hang up with her, and that night I walk to the parking lot by myself, get in my car, and I went home.
And then the next morning, nothing happened, obviously.
The next morning, I'm like, you know what it was? I think it was that summer that I saw that guy, Gavin DeBecker, who wrote The Gift of Fear on Oprah. And I was watching this and I read the book.
Yeah.
And it was like, I have compartmentalized that to such a degree. And then I realized, like, oh my God, I gave this man all the information he needed, what I was dressed, what time I was leaving, where my car was, how old I was, what I looked like, and my name. And had anybody approached me in a car and called out my name, I would have walked over to them. You know, and it almost made me want to throw up. And also what he talks about a lot in the book is how men who are preying on women will make themselves, like, they'll wear a cast, they'll ask for help, they'll make themselves look like, and what's so devastating to me about that, yes, is like they're preying on the instincts so many women have
to help,
which is to be caretakers and to help, and using it against them. So all of that is to say, yes, I have a strong startle reflex. And I think often we don't understand our own reactions to dangerous situations and when we're really in danger. And I believe I was really in danger and I was having a reaction that I couldn't identify because it oftentimes doesn't show up as like fear, quote unquote, as we know it.
I think the thing that you almost need to teach girls and boys is to trust that feeling. That the moment you have that feeling,
don't be afraid to be rude.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to be rude. Don't be afraid to run away. You know, don't be afraid to scream and yell. And it's like because we teach kids, be nice, be nice, be nice. And Bebe and I talk to strangers all the, you know, we're always out and about mixing with the people.
You love small talk.
But we love small talk. Oh, Casey told me she had some really wonderful pre-holiday talk. Small talk at the doctor's office that really got her going.
That's
you know, and it's like, it was a lot like, You see the lights are already out. Like, what's next? You know, like
Halloween's barely over.
Yeah, exactly. Pumpkins. She said,
"Do you go to Starbucks?
Like,
they're all the Christmas cups like, are out." Yeah,
tinsel before pumpkins or something. We had some great back and forths. But yeah, the other hardest thing is like you don't want them to be so afraid that they walk through the world terrified, you know. But I think about also to walk like, home at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the other thing is like I also the onus is not on girls to, you know, I grew up that way, which was like, don't wear a ponytail because someone will grab it. But
yeah,
it's really like what are we doing to what are we doing to our boys that they are becoming violent? And, you know, how do we change that? That's really the question. I just, it's really not on girls to solve this.
No, you're right. And it's not like you have to, but the idea that you have to protect yourself against somebody in your own species is insane. Mm-hmm. Like I, you know, and as I get older, I really don't feel that as much. Mm. And I don't know why I should. But in New York, I remember it was a constant fear. I remember somebody from the theater, from the UCB, thought it was funny to walk like behind me on a dark street.
Dude.
And no, I started speeding up and they kept walking behind
Jessica.
Me. And I turned around and I fucking ripped into this person. You know,
that's insane.
I was like, this is the fucking craziest. I was like, it's like, don't you understand how we live?
Yeah.
Thinking every time we walk into an elevator, we're going to get murdered or raped. It's like crazy. It's truly crazy. So well,
I'm so glad you weren't murdered.
Me
by
too.
That gentleman.
It's really taking some of the wind out of my sails. But
I'm so
you know,
sorry.
I
love that your outlook was the most positive. Like he just wanted to
get
it
in. Sex.
If the one hole that's available to him.
Sex to death. He was gonna want to sex me so bad that it was gonna just destroy my insides. No, and you know, but I did feel like this guy's off. This something's wrong with this man. So like, you know, listen, it wasn't like fucking Hugh Grant from circa 2001 was like, you know, trying to get something started with me. This gentleman obviously had some issues. But yeah. Okay. Hold on. I know we have to wrap up. I just want to finish this. Okay. So I get rattled when I have a lot to do in a short amount of time.
You know what? No, I don't. I feel like I'm pretty high functioning.
Great. When people are uncomfortable in a physical environment, I tend to know what needs to be done to make it more comfortable, like changing the lighting or the seating.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
When I go walk into a restaurant, I change tables like 3 times.
Me too.
Yeah.
And hotel rooms. I am annoyed when people try to get me to do too many things at once. No.
No.
I'm fine with that. I try hard to avoid making mistakes or forgetting things.
I used to. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I've had to like let that go a bit.
I wonder if it counts if you try hard, but you still make a lot of mistakes and still forget things. I make a point to avoid violent movies and TV shows.
Oh, yes. I can't do that.
Yeah, although you watch all those crime shit, you're able to take that on.
I know. That's so weird. I don't think I can see it, though.
So, oh,
like, I can listen to it, but like I can't see gore. I can't do gore.
I just watched, I don't know why, the first episode of that creepy show, You.
Ooh.
Because I thought it was a romantic
plug for
comedy.
You. My girlfriend, Michaela McManus, is in this last season, this most current season, which I think is season 3. She's so fucking good on it.
I bet she's stunning.
Oh my God. And what a fascinating character she plays. So, that show,
I can't. For the HFs, for the true HSPs out there, that show is terrifying. So I want to give that. Oh, listen, I couldn't. I watched it and I couldn't sleep for a week. And I'm a 45-year-old woman. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. It didn't hit me that way. I found it to be a little soapy. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not writing that one down then for you. Being very hungry creates a strong reaction in me, disrupting my concentration or mood. You jumped out of a car, so
Yes, I do very bad on low blood sugar, but I'm also always hungry. So that's hard.
Me too. Changes in my life shake me up. Boy, oh boy. I notice and enjoy delicate or fine scents, tastes, sounds, or works of art.
Yes, except for tastes. I don't feel like I have a sophisticated palate.
That's fine. I find it unpleasant to have a lot going on at once.
No, I like that.
So do I. I make it a high priority to arrange my life to avoid upsetting or overwhelming situations. I unfortunately don't. I should.
And I wish I did. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I am bothered by intense stimuli like loud noises or chaotic scenes.
Yes. Yes.
When I must compete or be observed, this is really interesting. While performing a task, I become so nervous or shaky that I do much worse than I would otherwise. And we do this for a living. But I would say I do my best work when I feel like I'm like with friends, like when I'm like you, me, like if it's my own show and it's you and me and Lindsay Sloan, I'm fucking like killing it. But when it is a nerve-wracking situation,
but Jessica, you, my friend, rise to the occasion and you always meet the moment. You do. And I think I do too.
As do you.
I think I do too. So I will say, it's more comfortable to be around people who I know support me. But like, I also think that we are both very capable of facing those fears and meeting the moment.
So we're not going to say yes to that.
I don't think we should say yes to that.
When I was a child, my parents or teachers seemed to see me as sensitive or shy. I was not shy.
I was shy.
But it was, but I was sensitive. Like my mom had to go in and say like, she can't raise her hand.
I mean,
hand.
Let's not forget the Ziploc bag of hair. I don't. I'd change your answer there.
Oof. I said yes. Okay. So, yes, the answer is you are. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, of course.
Okay, here we go.
Of course.
Our total, because we voted the same, was 20. If you answered more than 14 of the questions true of yourself, you are probably highly sensitive. So we're at 20.
It would be interesting to have like two different charts going on our Instagram. Like one of those thermometers is like where we are in the HSP scale. The other one is like where we are on our journey toward anal sex. If the twain ever meet, or just like try to dig into the data a little bit more there.
Well, again, both of those phrases, the twain ever meet, it feels like you're another euphemism for anal sex. And digging into the data seems like, oh yeah, did you guys have fun? Yeah, we dug into that data, you know? I dug into her data.
We really excavated it. Oh, Jess, I just love you so much. You really lift my spirits. You really lift my spirits. God damn it. I'm so delighted by you.
Me too.
I really am.
Deep really Divers, you guys are the greatest. We love you so much. You just make my life better every day. You make June's life better every day. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for being with us. And I'm sure some of you are going to make some very upsetting charts and graphs for us to post. And we probably will. But your DMs and everything you say when you reach out. And of course, I know I don't respond, but it's really so powerful and we love seeing it. And Deep Divers, if you can rate the show on iTunes and leave a comment, it really does help. Please tell your friends about it. It helps us so much. And we will see you next week.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on a deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on a deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.